Cornwall is one of the most beautiful regions of the UK. Craggy cliffs, sandy beaches, turquoise waters, and picturesque fishing villages are just some of the attractions that draw thousands of people every year. But for a few unfortunate visitors, the natural beauty of Cornwall would not be the only thing to leave them speechless, as they would be witness to something far more terrifying. Something out of this world. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Hebe Jeebies podcast with me, Hebe. Today, we venture back to the world of cryptozoology with a visit to the English county of Cornwall, where some say a sinister avian creature is said to haunt the churchyards and terrify anyone who is unlucky enough to see it. Today, I'll be telling you the story of the Cornish Owlman, who was seen and feared in the Cornish parish of Mornan for over 40 years. Mornan Smith is a village in the parish of Mornan, not far from Falmouth. It's a small village, but what it lacks in size, it makes up for in beauty. In fact, Cornwall Live has gone as far as to refer to it as the county's, quote, most perfect village. Mornan Smith has thatched cottages, an inn, and a little church called St. Mornan's and St. Stephen's. This, on one spring day in 1976, is where our story begins. Two young holidaymakers, 9-year-old Vicky and 12-year-old June Melling, were enjoying an amble through the forest beside the churchyard when their attention was drawn to something hovering over the church steeple. When they looked up, the sisters were horrified to see a huge winged creature, humanoid in shape, with boxy wings and glowing eyes. Understandably, the girls were so scared that they fled the area and immediately told their father about the strange apparition they had seen. Mr. Melling, realising how truly terrified his daughters were, cut their family holiday short and immediately returned the family to Lancashire, but not before disclosing the story to a local man named Tony Shields. Tony, or Doc, as he was sometimes known, was a rather eccentric character who, amongst other things, worked as a magic performer called Wizard of the West at shows throughout Cornwall in the early 1970s. He was also known for an interest in monsters. In 1976, he attempted to invoke Morgawr, a Cornish sea serpent of ancient legend, with the help of a coven of naked witches. Needless to say, these eccentric exploits earned him a good deal of media attention, including features on BBC TV, The Fortean Times, and The News of the World. It was in this context that Don Melling approached Shields with the story his daughters had told him of the strange creature in the churchyard. And though he would not allow the children to speak directly to Shields, he did provide him with a sketch of the creature that June had drawn. Shields was taken with this strange story immediately and described it in a letter to his colleague, paranormal researcher Jonathan Downs. Quote, A very weird thing happened over the Easter weekend. A holidaymaker from Preston, Lancashire, told me about something his two young daughters had seen. A big feathered bird man hovering over the church tower at Mornan, a village near the mouth of the Helford River. The girls, June, 12, and Vicky, daughters of Mr. Don Melling, were so scared that the family cut their holiday short and went back 3 days early. Vicky and June's encounter was strange enough on its own, but on the 3rd of July 1976, 3 months after the initial sighting, the creature appeared again. Another pair of young girls, named Sally Chapman and Barbara Perry, were camping in the same woods that Vicky and June had made their sighting in, when the pair heard a strange hissing noise. Turning to look for the source of the noise, the girls were stunned to see, as Chapman described it, quote, "a big owl with pointed ears, as big as a man. The eyes were red and glowing. At first, I thought it was someone dressed up, playing a joke, trying to scare us. I laughed at it. We both did. Then it went up in the air and we both screamed. When it went up, you could see its feet were like pincers." Perry also shared a similar description of the thing, saying it had a, quote, "nasty owl face with big ears and big red eyes." These descriptions, along with sketches that Chapman and Perry created, matched the descriptions and drawings provided by the Melling sisters months before. The creature was large and humanoid, covered in grey feathers and bearing glowing red eyes. It had large boxy wings and strange pincer-like feet. One thing stuck out above all else, however: the creature's resemblance to an owl. This led to the now infamous moniker of Owlman, though the creature has also been known by a few other names like Birdman or Death Raptor. Having heard about Shields' involvement in documenting the previous sighting of the Owlman, Perry and Chapman set out to meet him in the days following their encounter. Approaching Shields at their meeting point on Grebe Beach, all a nervous Chapman could say was, "Are you Doc Shields? We've seen the bird monster." There were other sightings of the Owlman in the coming days. On the 4th of July 1976, just a day after Perry and Chapman's encounter, a woman named Jane Greenwood claimed to have seen the creature. She described it as man-like, with slanted red eyes and black crab-like claws. The release of a pamphlet which contained one of the first written accounts of the Owlman would lead to an increase in sightings, which, of course, skeptics had a field day with. After this flap, pun intended, there would be a lull in the Owlman hysteria, but the respite was brief. In 1978, a woman known only as Miss Opie came forward to say she had seen a, quote, "monster like a devil flying up through the trees near the old Mornan church." That same year, a local landlady contacted Shields to report that three French students who were staying with her had seen the Owlman. The girls, who wanted to remain anonymous for fear of being ridiculed, had told their landlady that the creature was, quote, "very big, like a furry bird with a gaping mouth and round eyes." The next encounter was documented in 1989, And notably, as Rob Morphy of Cryptopia.us points out, this was the first account of the Owlman that did not involve Doc Shields. Jonathan Downs, Shields' colleague who was mentioned earlier in the episode, had interviewed a man known only as Gavin, who claimed that he and his then-girlfriend had seen the creature standing in a tree. According to Gavin's account, he shone his torchlight up into the trees and illuminated a 5-foot-tall creature with glowing eyes, which, quote, jerked its head down and forwards, before jumping backwards out of sight. In 1995, the editor of the Western Morning News in Truro received an anonymous letter from an American tourist. Yet another sighting of the Owlman. This witness described the creature as, quote, a vision from hell. The size of a man with a ghastly face and clawed wings. It had, quote, long bird legs which terminated in large black claws. When it saw the witness, it, quote, floated towards her before she turned and ran in terror. This account, like all the previous accounts of the Owlman, makes no mention of flapping wings, instead suggesting that the creature was able to hover or rise into the air without flapping its wings like a bird would. As we will discuss a bit later, some people see this as evidence that the Owlman is a supernatural apparition rather than a cryptozoological phenomenon, as a physical being should not be able to move in this way. Most narratives about the Owlman suggest that these are all of the eyewitness accounts of the creature, but an entry on Cornish Bird Blog would beg to differ. This account states that the first encounter with the Owlman actually occurred all the way back in 1926, when the Cornish Echo reported that two boys had been chased by an abnormally large and aggressive bird. This story was said to have inspired a pair of surrealist painters to visit the area in 1937 and perform rituals to try and summon the half-man, half-bird creature, which would go on to feature heavily in their artwork. An article on Cornwall Live, which also mentions the 1920s sighting, details a story from a ghost hunter who claimed to have seen the Owlman as recently as 2019. This ghost hunter claims that his friend was attacked by the creature and that it was heard hissing in the trees before it flew overhead. He also claims to have filmed the creature, though I must admit, to me the footage looks like nothing more than a man standing in a cloak on the edge of the graveyard. Either way, it seems that the Owlman's presence in Mornan Smith goes further than just a few sightings in the 70s, which just serves to make it even more intriguing. Something else that makes the story of the Owlman so fascinating is that it wasn't born into a vacuum. Around the time that the creature was first seen, the area around Falmouth was experiencing a myriad of unusual phenomena. According to the Cryptonaut podcast, this included heat waves and droughts, as well as flooding. Even stranger, however, are the reports of women being attacked by feral cats, birds, quote, committing suicide by flying into walls en masse, UFOs, and, perhaps weirdest of all, teleporting cows. Sadly, I was unable to find any elaboration on the teleporting cows, because believe me, I would be discussing it in depth if I could. But if reports are to be believed, there was certainly something strange going on. There was also a spate of sightings of Morgawer the sea serpent in 1976, the same year as the two most famous Owlman sightings. This, along with the obvious physical similarities and the naming trope, makes Owlman analogous to the infamous Mothman. Both of these winged monstrosities were accompanied by an aura of high strangeness and mysterious happenings, leading many to draw comparisons between the two. Thankfully, no local tragedy akin to the Silver Bridge collapse happened following sightings of the Owlman, though it could be argued that maybe he appeared in relation to the droughts and the flooding. But either way, the similarities are nevertheless interesting. Another far less famous cryptid that bears an uncanny resemblance to the Mothman and the Owlman is the Bat Beast of Kent, a headless, winged entity that was seen by a group of youths at the other end of England in 1963. Is there a sinister class of avian invaders patrolling British skies, waiting for the opportunity to swoop down and carry away their unlucky victims? So, what is the Owlman? Some suggest that it is simply a strigiform-like cryptid, a physical entity that lives around the churchyard. Others have reached a more fantastical conclusion and suggested that it is not a creature, but an enigmatic haunting of the Mornan church. The fact that the church is at the centre of many sightings has even led to some theorising that the entity has a demonic flavour. Is the Owlman an evil entity sent to torment the godly inhabitants of Mornan Smith? There was, after all, an attempt by those surrealist painters to summon it. Perhaps they were successful. Though I tend to be wary of the demonic theory in most cases, this one included, I do like the idea of the Owlman being paranormal. Though this is one of the rare cases of a cryptid where the wings do appear big enough in relation to the body to allow it to fly, the fact that it seems to float and hover in most sightings does make me think that this is not a corporeal phenomenon. Some people have suggested that Mornan Church sits on a ley line, and this is why there have been so many strange occurrences in the area. Not just Owlman, but the UFOs, the teleporting cows, and perhaps Morgawer the sea serpent as well. Another less popular theory is that the Owlman is an extraterrestrial, especially since there were UFOs reported in the area around the same time. The fantastical explanations cover all bases, but there is also no shortage of sceptical explanations for the Owlman. The first, and most obvious, is that it was simply a misidentified owl. The Cornwall Wildlife Trust lists several species of owl that are native to the region, so it would not be out of the question for there to be a particularly large owl or owls roosting near the church. Though it seems dubious that an owl could be misidentified as man size, several experiments have proved humans to be less than adept at estimating size. And when the fear factor and the element of surprise are introduced, it's easier to see how this could be plausible. The hissing noises that were sometimes attributed to the Owlman could also be attributed to actual owls. And if there was an owl guarding a nest, it would likely be aggressive towards anyone who came near it. Other skeptics have suggested that the Owlman was a hoax perpetrated by someone in a costume. Even a, quote, fancy dress hang glider, as Doc Shields rather dubiously suggested. This is possible. After all, two of the witnesses even said that they initially thought they were looking at a person in a costume. Until it comes to the flight. How could a hoaxer seamlessly float away? Even if they were rigged to wires in the trees, the likelihood of making several clean getaways, where the wires and the hoaxer didn't catch on branches and the contraption didn't make any noise, is small. Then we'd also have to consider the setup and the takedown of such contraption that would have to be rigged in the trees in order for this to work. Did no one see this being done? And if they did, why would they not come forward? The person in a costume theory is certainly possible, but I think it's pretty unlikely. A sceptical explanation that is quite likely, however, is that Doc Shields made up the entire thing. I mentioned earlier that Shields was known to be eccentric and concocted a strange stunt involving a sea serpent and naked witches. But he also came to be known as a hoaxer. He staged two photos of the Loch Ness Monster, and many of his monster-raising antics were known to be dubious, to say the least. And it is notable that all the initial sightings of the Owlman were reported solely to Shields. This has led many to suggest that the Owlman is another one of his exploits and was not a genuine phenomenon. The subsequent sightings that were reported to other sources, according to this theory, were simply misidentifications or the result of the hysteria that Shields had created with his initial hoax. I'm sad to say that I think this theory has some credence. In fact, Shields even made a point of saying in his letter to Jonathan Downs that he was sure the initial witnesses weren't just making it up because they'd been told he was on a monster hunt. Which makes me think of the famous Hamlet quote, "The lady doth protest too much." That having been said, an article on Medium.com called "Beware the Owlman" notes that Shields' exploits always appeared to have their roots in harmless mischief rather than cynicism. If he did hoax something as terrifying as the Owlman apparently was, then it wasn't in keeping with the more light-hearted, eccentric stunts he was known for. While he is not as famous as his moth cousin, the Owlman has certainly become a favourite in cryptozoology circles. And nowadays, you would be hard-pressed to find a paranormal enthusiast who hasn't heard of him. Curiously, though, it seems that in Mornan Smith, the story is all but forgotten. Cornwall Live reports that there are no signs, plaques, or notices in the village to commemorate this curious chapter in its history. And many locals have not heard the word Owlman spoken in years, if ever. This is largely due to changes in the population, as many who were around during the 1976 flap have died or moved away, and newer residents of the area are unaware of the story altogether. It is a shame that the story seems to have faded in its home village, especially since Cornwall has such a rich history of high strangeness. So tell your friends about the Owlman, because it's too good of a story to lose. The Owlman of Mornan Smith is one of the great English cryptid stories, as curious as it is creepy. It has all the hallmarks of a great Scooby-Doo episode. the monster haunting the quaint village and terrifying the local kids, the aura of high strangeness, and the eccentric local who may or may not be responsible. Personally, I think that if the Owl Man was not a hoax or a misidentified owl, it must be a paranormal phenomenon. Perhaps there is an ethereal energy permeating the ground of Mornin Smith. And if there isn't, then Doc Shiel certainly concocted a great story. Either way, this apparition was enigmatic enough to steal the limelight from sea serpents, UFOs, and even teleporting cows. So, if you ever find yourself wandering the woods of Cornwall, keep an eye on the skies, lest the Owlman should swoop down and carry you away to its treetop lair. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed our expedition into the bizarre. If you enjoyed the show and you want to hear more, then please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and join me over on social media. You can find all the links in the episode description. Thanks again for listening, and please join me next time for another tale that will give you the heebie-jeebies.